Hello, this is UX Booster, a podcast about user experience design and skills development. Grow your confidence, learn how to design things that work and get inspired. My name is Wojtek Kutyla and I hope you'll enjoy the show. I've met Jim at UX Lisbon, where I participated in his workshop on jobs to be done. Jim is an expert on the subject and recently he released a book that's simply excellent. This is a great opportunity for an interview, I thought. So, ladies and gentlemen, here we go. Hi, Jim. How are you doing?
Yeah, all good here. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. It's good to have you here, Jim. Would you mind introducing yourself? I know you, but my listeners won't. So, who are you, Jim Kalbach?
Yeah, sure. My name is Jim Kalbach. I'm currently the chief evangelist at Mural, a leading online whiteboard. I've been with the company almost 6 years now. I founded our customer success and support teams and did a lot with our services teams as well, too. And as we grow as a company, I moved into this new role. I have a background in design and product development. I've worked with innovation teams and design strategy. And a lot of that work is reflected in my books. I have three books that I wrote in 2007, Designing Navigation, kind of reflects my background as an information architect. And then in 2016, Mapping Experiences, which is all about journey maps and service blueprints and things like that. Quick side note, the second edition of that is now available. So second edition of Mapping Experiences is out. And then in 2020, this year, I released the Jobs to be Done playbook. Also a topic I've been working with for over 15 years and decided to put that down on paper.
That's amazing. And the book is really good. Congratulations on getting that released and all your previous books, of course. So in terms of jobs to be done, if you were to explain it to somebody who haven't heard about this before, what would you say?
What would I say? Yeah, a job to be done. I mean, you can think about your daily life and that you have a lot of jobs to be done that you do every day. It's basically a goal or an objective that you might have. And they can be small, like commuting to work or preparing a meal or getting energy in the morning when you drink your coffee. Those can also be considered jobs to be done, as well as things like planning your long-term financial well-being or financing a new home. Those are jobs as well, too. So jobs to be done is really a lens. I think it's a perspective that allows an organization to understand what people are trying to get done, what individuals are trying to get done in their lives, independent of any technology or solution, including their own. Companies are really good at looking at a group of people as customers, as consumers. They have a solution and they say, these people can buy and use my solution. What Jobs to be Done says is, no, put that aside for a second. You come back to that later. But put that aside and let's just understand the goal that they're trying to get done. So you first need to define that goal, but then you understand what people want to get done. And then you think about how your solution matches that goal, not the other way around. So it's really about kind of reversing things. And instead of having a solution and trying to sell and push your solution, it's saying, no, think about what people are trying to get done first and then work back towards your solution.
I understand how this would work in the case of having a new product built or a new service. But how about those organizations that have already established routine for gathering insight into what their customers want, or sometimes just simply create that insight out of thin air based on nothing but assumptions? How could they use jobs to be done?
It's a great question, because the origins of jobs to be done, of all modern jobs to be done approaches and modern jobs to be done thinking, really stems from Clayton Christensen's work, a famous Harvard business professor and thought leader in business. He unfortunately passed away in 2020, but he wrote a book called The Innovator's Dilemma. And in The Innovator's Dilemma, he proposes this theory of disruption. And market disruption is when a traditional organization, as you just described, continues to develop its own solution for its own solution's sake. And they lose track of the job to be done. And at the core of the innovator's dilemma is kind of a complacency and a forgetting, a collective forgetting across the organization of what the job to be done is, and you get wrapped up in your own solution. And actually, in the Innovator's Solution, his follow-up book, Clayton Christensen's follow-up book to the Innovator's Dilemma, he coins the term and brings the term jobs to be done to everybody. He shares that term with us, saying that's actually the cure to the Innovator's Dilemma, to disruption, is to go back to the job to be done. So that's a long-winded introduction to the answer that not only established companies, established companies should always be in touch with their job to be done, because that's how you not only prevent disruption, but also find new opportunities for growth.
All right. So on the high level, I get it. But then how does it really work in terms of, execution for us designers?
Yeah, sure. Well, first of all, jobs to be done is not a design discipline. It comes from the business community, and it can be used for design to come up with, new designs. It's fundamentally a research technique, so it fits very well with existing design techniques. But it can also be used by product management and customer success and marketing and sales. So it's actually more of a universal way to understand your markets. I just want to preface by saying that it's not just a design discipline. But what jobs to be done can do is let you see the individuals you serve in a new light. It points to new opportunities. When you're doing usability tests and lean techniques and agile, kind of you're looking at people, you're looking at the markets you serve through the lens of your own solution, right? You're seeing how can you increase usage? How can you make usability better? How can you improve the customer experience to be more frictionless? And those are all great goals to have. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying don't do that. You need to do that as a company. You want to have a delightful customer experience. You want to have a kick-ass user experience, right? Those are great things to have. But you also want to flip your perspective and think about the job first. What's the goal? What's the objective that people have? And really, really understand that and then build solutions from there. So it's for me, jobs to be done complements existing design techniques and efforts. And it really brings in a new light. It brings in a new voice, a new perspective into the conversation and helps you arrive to new solutions and new ways of designing.
All right. Thank you. Yeah, and it's becoming increasingly popular, I think, and not only because of your book, obviously, but just in general, because the business community and design community are looking for better tools to do that job since they were lacking it for years. But as much as it's super useful, it might also come hard at times. And I know what my problems with it are, but I wonder, what do you think about it? What is hard when it comes to jobs to be done?
Defining a job. I have a definition, a generic definition of what a job is and what jobs to be done are. But when you take any field or discipline or any business and look at the jobs that it supports, sometimes it's abstract and hard to kind of distill that down. There's also a hierarchy involved. Anytime you're talking about human goals, you have a hierarchy, right? I mentioned some before, I want to get energy in the morning. Is a super simple functional goal, but I also want to advance my career and be a great employee, and I want self-actualization, right? So you end up having this hierarchy of goals, and one of the hardest things to do at the beginning of using jobs to be done is navigating that hierarchy and getting the right level of altitude, as I call it, and saying, oh, we're going to focus on a main job and define it in a certain way. So the first question you have to ask yourself is, where do you want to innovate? Because you can innovate your whole business, you can innovate the whole industry, or you can innovate something very, very specific and small. You first have to define that. And that trips people up as well, too. The other thing that trips people up is it takes a little bit of practice to talk about human goals, but removing yourself from the equation. You're not talking about your product or your solution, right? You're not talking about how people log in and search and find a search results list and save a document and export the document. That has nothing to do with the job to be done. And that's all about you. That's your technology, right? And it takes some practice to kind of get out of that habit. So I like to think of jobs to be done like a language. It's really a language of translating feedback and messages that you get from the markets that you serve, from the individuals that you're supporting, and you translate it into these categories and buckets of the framework of jobs to be done, which I talk about in the book, so that you can then find new opportunities. But like any language, it takes practice, right? You don't read a book about Spanish and then go out and speak Spanish. You got to practice it. So I also find people, they want to get going right away, which is great. They're eager and they want to get going right away. But then they kind of get tripped up on practicing the language first.
Yeah, I think that's right. I remember your workshop at UX Lisbon where we met for the first time, and being practitioner of jobs to be done for a few years in their various mutations, because that's another story. I mean, when you start reading about jobs to be done, you can read about it from, you know, from you, then from Clement, then from many other people. And each one of you has a slightly different way of approaching it. So it's a total mishmash. I remember how, you know, once properly explained, it was actually still quite difficult to do it right, because there's so many intricacies, and to be able to switch my thinking into that of complete detachment from technology and solutions, that's really not easy. And I imagine that for established organizations, that might be very, very hard.
It is very hard, and it can be abstract as well too, because you're going to, let's say, a product team and a product owner, and you're taking jobs to be done to them. And this person is incentivized for building and marketing and getting more use of their product. And the first thing you say is, okay, we're going to look for opportunities, but we're not going to talk about your product. For some people, that's just too abstract for them to talk about. So that's another, I think, weakness of jobs to be done and hurdle that you have to overcome, is getting yourself into the mindset, but also getting other people into this mindset, because it can be abstract.
I remember one thing that really stuck with me after that workshop is what you said, and I use it even with my clients nowadays for different things. I say, like you just said, can you imagine somebody who's waking up in the morning and says, I so want to log in. I mean, my biggest desire today is to log in to, you know, nobody does that, right? So here, understanding of the real goal, of the real problem is really going to help us a lot. All right. So what you've mentioned seems like a quite involved discipline, and we both know it's a lot of work to work very well. But what can a person do to start, just, you know, by baby steps, small things, anything that any designer or business analyst can do to kind of kick it off and, you know, just go at a slow pace?
Yeah, sure. You know, one of the goals of the book, the Jobs to be Done playbook that I just launched, was to kind of break jobs to be down into small chunks. There are some methods out there, and you mentioned some different perspectives. They can be very daunting, they're large and hard to approach. What I wanted to do is just kind of break it down into individual plays. I call them plays. It's essentially a technique, an activity, a little method that you can use, which you can string together to get into what I call a recipe. So you can make a whole project out of it. You can develop your whole product around jobs to be done. You can reinvent your company strategy around jobs to be done if you want. But you can also just do one play at a time. And some of the plays that I think are more popular are creating a job map. Unlike a customer journey map, a job map doesn't focus on your product or your brand or your solution and how people become aware of you and how they decide, you know, to buy your solution. It's a map of what they're trying to get done independent of any solution. And you can do a lot with a job map. So for me, a job map is one of the first best things that I recommend that people do. Another technique is job stories. Job stories are a great technique. We use them here at Mural when we're writing product requirement documents or defining a project. We'll define the pain points and the needs that we're targeting, and we'll write them as job stories. So job stories is a little format, kind of like a user story, but a little format that you can encapsulate a pain point using the job, this mindset that I'm talking about. You can also do a competitor comparison. You can think of the job steps in the job map and compare those to competitors. There's also a technique from Alexander Osterwalder where you can define a value proposition. So you can define a value proposition canvas. And each one of those that I just mentioned, the value proposition canvas, competitor comparison, job stories, job map, you can just do that individual activity and integrate it into everything else that you're doing. You don't have to change your workflow or your method. You can just do those little activities to bring in a new perspective. It helps shift the conversation, right? I've never had that not happen to me. When you present a job map to people, you have a completely different conversation than when you're looking at a customer journey map, right? So you can bring these things in to bring in a new perspective at just at points of time.
Okay, that's great. Thank you. And all of this starts with a proper way for interviewing people. Am I right? You need to have good interview material, good transcripts to start your jobs to be done work. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Sure. Yeah, jobs to be done is based on research. And in fact, some of the most intensive research projects I have done have been on jobs to be done projects. I'm not sure where there's a rumor or a myth floating out on the internet now that jobs to be done is made up and it's not based on research. I've heard that before, and it shocked me too, because it's the very opposite is true as well too. Jobs to be done modeling, as I call it, a job map is a type of a model, right? It's not the real world. It's a representation of the real world through a model called a job map. All of the plays in my playbook always start with qualitative research. So you first need to define your level of altitude and your main job and your job performer, where do you want to innovate and who do you want to innovate for? And once you define that, you need to go out and do interviews. So there's a lot of qualitative work that you do up front. And from those interviews, you extract job steps, you extract their desired outcomes. You can extract things like circumstances. These are the different elements of jobs to be done that I talk about in the book. And then you can assemble those elements together, you know, in a job map or job story. But it's all based on in-depth qualitative research. And there's a couple of techniques out there that you can use. Again, I write about those in the book where it can help you do the qualitative part of it. There's also some methods that rely on quantitative research as well, too. So you can survey your market and actually quantify the unmet need as well, too. But it begins with a lot of qualitative research. And in fact, you can stop there. You don't have to quantify things. You can just create a job map and stop. If that's all your team needs to understand new opportunities, you don't necessarily have to do the quantitative part of it. But yes, you're absolutely right. Jobs to be done rooted in qualitative interviewing.
Which is a big difference to what usually happens at some of the larger organizations where, you know, things are just invented out of thin air, out of nowhere. That really is a much more precise approach, I guess, to generating ideas and finding out about those jobs. So you mentioned that at Mural, you run a lot of job story work, but I'm interested in what else do you do with jobs to be done at Mural? Would you mind talking about this for a bit, please?
Sure. We've done a couple of projects over the years. Our head of product and co-founder of Mural has used a job map. So if you look at some of the main jobs that Mural serves, for instance, you know, facilitating a meeting or a workshop, right? That might be a job that people want to get done using Mural. And we can talk about that independent of any technology or solution, which we've done, and we've created a job map. He then looks at the job map every quarter when they're prioritizing the backlog to find the hotspots in the job map. That is, where are we underserving people? Not underserving them in terms of feature functionality or price or region, but where are we underserving them in terms of them getting their own job done, right? And using that lens to help prioritize the backlog. And there's a nice article out there. I have the case study in the book too from him, where through the research, you create the job map and then you use the job map to help prioritize your roadmap. The next step after that, by the way, is tying that to the job stories. So the prioritized points in your roadmap, you can represent the pain points that are associated with those points in the job map as job stories. So we kind of tie those three things together, the job map, a jobs-based roadmap, and job stories. We tie those together on our product development side of things. We also, at Mural, we serve a lot of consultants. Consultants use Mural to work with their clients, right? And a colleague of mine and I did a small research project where, based on interviews, we created a job map around the consultant experience. And then we used that to come up with some hypotheses about where we should focus our attention in the next quarters.
Okay, so it does seem to me like a lot of your development work or design work for that matter is actually based on that concept of jobs to be done. So you adapted your entire company framework to it, really.
Yes and no. It's not overt. It's there and people are using the language and, you know, I'm helping teams in different ways think about jobs to be done. But we're not stopping and saying, "Oh, we're switching to jobs to be done," or "Now we're going to explicitly do a jobs to be done project." It's kind of there and we use it when we need it and we pull it in and mix it in with other techniques, yeah.
So is this method evolving in general, or is it like some other, let's say, design or research methods that, you know, were set up 10, 25, 30 years ago, and they just are what they are and never going to change? How much of an evolutionary thing that job to be done is?
I think there's an evolution, right? There are other, you know, thought leaders and writers and people in the field who have, you know, their own methods, their consultants. I'm not a consultant, so I don't have a method that I want to, you know, promote. I just want to kind of break down jobs to be done and make it understandable for people. to use in their own way. And since the book came out, I have to tell you, I've been getting contacted by people who have already used Jobs to Be Done. Probably a lot. We should talk about how you're using Jobs to Be Done.
I'd love to.
Because the thing that's fascinating to me is just the invention and kind of the flexibility that people are reading into Jobs to Be Done and how they're integrating things together. I keep finding just amazing examples. And I wrote the book as kind of individual plays, right? So you think about like Lego blocks that you can kind of put together. And I did that on purpose to kind of spur this inventiveness that I'm seeing. So to answer your question, I see a lot of evolution and development still that can still happen in the field. And to some degree, I'm kind of pushing that. I hope I am, at least.
Well, I'm not surprised. You know, many of tools described in books by people like yourself and, you know, other experts, they were developed in particular context, or maybe they do work from their own perspective for their right organization. And, you know, myself, I'm a consultant too, so I use it with many of my clients. And of course, all of these clients are very different, and some of them are more aware and keen to adapt to some of the more advanced topics. And sometimes you just have to maybe not dumb it down, maybe that's a bad word to use, but just make it simpler and kind of, you know, just work with the basics. So I often use the job map as the core for many of my activities. But what's really interesting is that, you know, we both know that, you know, IDI interviews, in-depth interviews are the best source of information, and that's the way to go. And it's all beautiful and dandy. But when the actual shit hits the fan, then, you know, sometimes you just don't have those long, great, beautiful interviews, and you have to go with things like, I don't know, Twitter comments, Facebook things, or just anecdotes. And so for me, certainly there's a great dose of flexibility in this, but so there is in the entire UX practice or design practice. I'm a designer, so I adapt it to my design discipline. And that's why I was keen to hear from you, but it does look to me like you know that people are bending it and shaping it in their own ways, and that rigidness doesn't really exist there. It's to be used and modified. And I think that's sort of beautiful, you know, that it's so flexible.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that and formulated it that way. When I give workshops, I teach the rules, and I have a ruler here on my desk, and, you know, I'll hit you on the knuckles if you make a mistake. But I'm also very, very pragmatic. And I realize that when people get back into their own organizations, they're going to have all kinds of constraints, right? About, you know, getting the level of abstraction, like I said, right? You know, you can't use any technology in your language. That becomes abstract for other stakeholders. Guess what? You can add it back in to get over that deliverable, that hump that you have, right? Also, you know, you mentioned, you know, a lack of data. I've been very, very resourceful in trying to piece together things. Like, you know, you only have bandwidth to do a handful of interviews, but guess what? You did interviews, you know, 6 months ago, and you can pick through that stuff. Or I look through, you know, sometimes like an online job board, you know, in here in the US it's monster.com. Like, oh, what does that person do? And you're reading through all of the activities that person does to try to like extract the jobs from that, or Twitter and social media, as you said as well, too. Sometimes you just have to be very resourceful and pragmatic about things, right? Is that better than not doing it? I would say it is. I would say I'd rather try to piece together a job map from scraps of data than to not do it at all. Right? Because, and here's why, because stakeholders, sometimes they need to see the light. In order for you to get funding for the next project, for them to come to you and say, oh, I want that. I want the real. Can you do that as a full project? Sometimes you need to just show them what it could be, right? And I think kind of getting over that hump, again, whether it's, you know, pulling scraps of data together or not, I think it's an important step. It might be in your journey in your company.
I really like that. Yeah, thanks. It's, you know, it almost reminds me of what I constantly think about, that all these great things that we read about in books, they are almost beautifully explained academic methods at times. And just, you know, we have to be able to adapt them. It's the same story as when, you know, there was a certain push for things like Google Sprint a few years back, you know, when the book was released and all companies really wanted to do Google Sprints, and it didn't work, you know, and they couldn't really do it. Stakeholders were not cooperating, or like there were some other constraints. And that just made me think, I remember at that time, that, you know, things are made to be used and adapted to each individual context. And I think our task as practitioners is mostly to be able to find ourselves in those difficult situations, strange situations, and just walk out of it, you know, doing all the things we can to make it work. So I'm very glad that you also think that, you know, you have that ability flexibility within your practice too, I take it, because I'm sure that the adaptation of jobs to be done to Mural's work is also somewhat customized.
Totally, totally. You know, and you know, I'm guilty of that as well too. The examples that I pulled out in my book, even some from my own work, those are my best projects, right? Where I actually did it by the book. What I don't tell you about are all the times I didn't do it by the book and I winged it, or I, you know, it came out half-ass, as we say. And you know, I'll talk on you know, on stage at conferences, and I'll talk about the best use cases. And then you're sitting there going, "Oh my God, this is amazing! How can I ever live up to that?" But like I said, I'm very pragmatic about it, and I've always envisioned a conference. Here, check out this conference, right? Where you have to show up with stories of failure to speak on stage. You can't show your best examples. You have to take your worst examples. And it's basically just a conference of people talking about all the struggles and hurdles and all the adaptation and all the corners that they cut. That's what the conference is about. In other words, about real life.
Absolutely. All right. So for the summary, imagine a situation that you are walking into an organization that is maybe an established organization, but for years and years, they were only doing very bulk standard, you know, work that's not based on any research. Just there was like a CEO who basically always dictated rules and always been saying, okay, so you make this green and this is going to have four wheels and, you know, a stick in the middle, whatever, because I want to. And you need to train them up in those jobs to be done. You want to show them the light. How do you do that? What do you show them?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I mean, it's a question that goes beyond just jobs to be done, right? This is about, you know, generally embracing a mindset of trying to understand the people that you serve in a different way, right? I mean, the first question I ask is, do they really need jobs to be done? I was talking to a large financial institution that makes a ton of money and they want to adopt jobs to be done. And I actually asked why. You guys think business-wise, it couldn't go better for them right now. So, you know, you really have to think about, you know, use the right tool at the right time, right? But if there is an imperative or a need to adopt jobs to be done, and other techniques as well too, I like to, you know, I've always worked kind of from the bottom up. Obviously, if the CEO says they want it, right? If he or she says they want it, that's great. So if you can get high level support, right, then it, you know, can kind of flow down. I've always kind of had a bottoms up approach, right, where I was working in a team and I wanted to inject jobs to be done. It's basically just about finding those opportunities. Where can you bring a job map or job stories into your work? And you start doing it so that it becomes normal. It takes time to do this, but injecting it into your existing project work. The other thing to do is find a team or a stakeholder who also wants that, right? Outside of your organization and preferably above where you are as well too. So find that product team or that marketing team that's already warmed up to the idea of working with jobs to be done, or anything else for that matter as well too. And get a case study. What you need to do is prove your value. Like I hinted at before, sometimes people don't know, jobs to be done is one of those things that people don't know they need until they see it. Right. So you got to kind of show them something first, and then you often get more and more demand. The other thing that works too is pointing to what other companies and what other people are doing. Right. There's a little bit of a fear factor there. Oh, our competitors are doing this. Right. Oh, then we better do it as well too. So it's usually a combination of things. Bottoms up, you know, just integrating it into your work, finding top down stakeholders who can clear a path for you, and looking around in the industry and what's state of the art and trying to bring that into your team as well.
And it takes time, as you said. It's not something that you learn and just in a week you're going to start reinventing your service, right, or a product. That's not going to happen. Let's be clear about it.
Totally. Yeah, it does take time to learn jobs to be done. And it takes time then to integrate that into your team so that others kind of pick it up. It also takes time for you to get a feel for the level of altitude, for the language, for what a job map can do for you as well too. Yeah, it all takes time, unfortunately. So have some patience and be tough and stick it out.
Perfect. That's a beautiful summary, Jim. Great. So just one final question. If people are going to start looking for Jim after this short podcast, where should they go? How can they find you? And what should they take away from you?
You can follow me on social media. So Twitter and LinkedIn. I post tips and blog posts that I write there. I point out to other people's blog posts as well too. I also announce events that I have. So workshops that I'm doing and things like that. I also launched a new resource this year called the Jobs to be Done Toolkit. It's jtbdtoolkit.com. And we have online learning there. So the book is very broad. I cover a lot of ground in the book. And what the online courses are intended to do is give you a lot more depth in the core concepts. So I don't touch on all the edge cases. I really just focus on those core concepts. And then you can learn at your own pace as well, too. As we were talking about, it takes practice. So having that video resource, you can go back and watch it again or watch a few at a time and let that sink in. So it's really meant to deepen your knowledge there at the Jobs to be Done Toolkit. Yeah, we have a couple of free downloads there as well, too. So you can check out that website and connect with us there.
That's perfect. Thank you very much. And see you at the December's course, which I've signed up for. I'm really happy about that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Thanks for coming and thanks for having me today.
That's a pleasure. Thank you very much, Jim. So this is it. Thank you very much for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. We're gonna have another podcast soon, of course, with a different person this time. If you have any comments or questions or ideas, simply send them to me. Observe UX Booster and have a great day. See you later.